Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. After a 2-1 Blackhawks win over the New York Rangers, interim head coach Anders Sorensen becomes the first Swedish-born NHL head coach to pick up a win. So congratulations to Sorensen. You can call or text 312-981-7200 going up to 9:30 tonight. Full postgame show tonight. Let's go back to MSG Madison Square Garden and bring in Troy Murray. Troy, this game was... It kind of got off the ground running in the first period. I think we went 5 minutes in a row at one point early in the first without a whistle. End-to-end action, great pace. How would you sum this one up for the Blackhawks?
Just like you said there, I thought that they really had a good start to this game. They you know, the Rangers had some high-quality chances in the first period, and the Hawks, as the game wore on, cut down into those areas a little bit. So they did a nice job of figuring out how they need to play a little bit better each time that they went out on the ice. The pace was really high right off the bat. And that's one thing that even in the loss to the Winnipeg Jets, the pace of their game, it was much higher and more consistent. And I think that, you know, a lot of times if you sit back and you try and protect leads, or you know, and all of a sudden you're not being aggressive on the forecheck, and there's a time and a place for everything. But I think the way that that Anders Sorensen has his team playing right now, they're buying into the fact that, you know, every shift is a high-tempo shift. You don't have to, you know, stop even when you're defending. Rather than sitting back and protecting, you're being aggressive. Yeah, they have to figure out how they clean up some of the open areas when you are aggressive, because you get outside that little house area that protects the middle of the ice. So there's some vulnerability there. But I think the players really enjoy the fact that, you know, and this is not a slight against Richardson. It's just a different way of kind of looking at the game. And Sorensen, I think, it looks at these guys and they say, hey, we've got some speed on this team. Let's start using it in the proper way. We might give up a little bit more as far as how we can defend. But I think what he wants is, because you're going to spend more time being aggressive, you're going to be in the offensive zone more often, that takes away from, you know, defending in your own end of the ice, and you're going to spend more time offensively. He really wants these guys to move the puck quickly out of the zone, that first pass, a good first pass, and I think they did that to the majority of what they wanted to do in this game. And I think the players, when you hear the comments from them, you know, really excited about how hard they competed in this game and how they won it.
It feels like the Rangers were the better team in the first period, but the final two periods, the Hawks tightened things up defensively and they were kind of the aggressors offensively. Did you see the same?
Yeah, I did. I thought that as the game wore on, the Blackhawks found a little bit more about what they wanted to do, get their game in order, and the Rangers, I thought, struggled. You know, some of their top players who, you know, they were quiet in this game. They had some looks. Panarin is a guy that's going to shoot the puck all the time. I'm not sure. He had 7 shots on goal and 12 shot attempts. You know, so you know he's going to shoot the puck. But a couple of the shots that he had were the only ones that were the high danger shots. He'll take a lot of shots and kind of hope something goes in and with some traffic in front of the net. But I thought that the Blackhawks did a nice job of shutting down those key players. And I didn't really look at Anders Sorensen as a guy in this game who was looking up for any kind of particular matchup, because, you know, you don't have the last chain, so you kind of just have to put your line out there. And I thought he did a nice job of rolling all 4 lines and keeping everybody involved. It didn't seem to matter who was out there, you know, that particular matchup. There wasn't guys flying off the ice because all of a sudden Panarin's line is out there. You know, it says, hey, go out there and play those guys. So I think that really resonates inside the room, that there's a trust factor that, you know, is starting to build, even though it's the second game, between coach and players.
The Bertuzzi, Hall, Donato line, that felt like the best line of the day for Chicago. What'd you see from that trio?
I thought Bertuzzi was, this might have been his best game, the way he was involved in it. He just was all over the place. He was aggressive. He scored a goal. He was +1 over 19 minutes, 5 shots on goal. He had 4 shots that missed the net. I mean, he was really noticeable in this game. Physical. He was winning puck battles. His feet were moving. And he's not a guy that's a real fast skater. You know, sometimes you kind of look at him and you talk about heavy feet in hockey and that, you know, and he's not a speedster, so to speak. But when he brings that energy, he's got that speed. And I thought he was really good in this game. You know, Donato is Donato. He's just going to go out there and be himself and work hard. He doesn't quit. He doesn't take anything for granted. Got a great attitude. You know, and Taylor Hall, a goal and assist in this game, plus one. He had the only shot that he had on that went in, but he was a factor in this game, and I think that's important for the guys like Bertuzzi and for Taylor Hall. These are the guys that when we talked about that line of expectations, they're a little bit below it. You were hoping for more and have higher expectations that they would exceed those. And, you know, those are two guys that you're looking to, you know, pick up some of the offense and take some pressure off Connor Bedard. Well, tonight they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it right there, Bertuzzi and Hall. The Blackhawks are really counting on them to kind of elevate their game offensively, and it probably led to part of the reason of Luke Richardson's dismissal, because he wasn't the Blackhawks weren't getting 5-on-5 scoring, and so they desperately need more out of both Bertuzzi and Hall if the Blackhawks want to start stacking some wins in a row.
Yeah, and you know, now you got to look at guys like Teravainen, and you got to get him involved in the equation offensively. And I thought he played a good role on the Foligno-Dickinson line as well. But you want to have, you know, him chipping in, and Mikheyev had an opportunity with Bedard. I thought there were some really good shifts by him. But you need more of him out of Kurashev. And so now that if you look at Taylor Hall and Bertuzzi, and maybe you like that line combination, you're going to stick with that. And you move forward. And the Rangers are a good hockey team. They're struggling right now, and I don't know what they do. I mean, they made a huge move and getting rid of their captain, Jacob Trouba. It's a big deal, and they take some money off the books. Maybe that's to sign Shesterkin to his deal, but I think it takes away a lot of the identity that the Rangers are looking for, and for the Blackhawks, they're looking to establish an identity. And if you can find, you know, the type of game that Sorensen wants, the high-tempo game, the high-pressure game, creating turnovers, putting pressure on players on the opposition team to execute passes under pressure, I think it's only going to get better. And hopefully, under this system, it kind of opens up the opportunity for some of the offensive players to be more involved in that.
What'd you think of Kevin Korchinski in this game? He looked pretty solid.
I didn't mind him. I didn't mind him. He was noticeable when he was out there skating. He had a couple shots on goal and played almost 17 minutes. He was even in the game. So, you know, good for him that, you know, he was on the ice for the shorthanded goal, but then he was on for the last goal. I think the Blackhawks scored as well. So, you know, a good job by him. Those are some pretty big minutes that he's playing in his first game in the NHL, and I thought he played well.
Arvid Soderblom picks up his second win of the season. He was easily one of the top three stars for the Blackhawks tonight.
Yeah, he was good. If you look at the shots on goal, the Blackhawks actually ended up outshooting the Rangers 32-29. But when the game was on the line a little bit earlier, it could have made a big difference for the Rangers to get that extra goal or score a couple with those high-quality chances they had in the first period. And Soderblom was excellent in this game. And that's going to really help him, knowing that he can step in there as the number one guy in the absence of Peter Mrazek as he deals with his groin injury. So well done by Soderblom. He's going to be excited about this. You'll never see it because he doesn't have that type of personality, but he's got to be happy inside. Deep down inside, he's happy.
You got a whole week in New York. What are you going to do, Troy?
I don't know. Let me go so I can go find out.
Typically, the Blackhawks have like a three.
It's only 9:40 in a city that never sleeps, right? I mean...
Are you going to make it to Thursday's game? We're going to have to.
I don't. If I'm missing in action, start looking for me in the streets of of New York.
Hey, if you get lost, just meet at the big Christmas tree. Okay.
I'm going to go see that tomorrow. I'm going to go see Macy's and check out the Christmas display and all that kind of stuff. And then, you never know.
All right, Troy, behave yourself.
We'll just leave it at that, right?
All right, perfect. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Good job, Charlie.
All right, thanks. You too. That was the great Troy Murray from Madison Square Garden. Big Blackhawks win, 2-1, snap a 5-game losing streak, all 5 of those games in regulation. Just looking at the raw numbers of the first period specifically. Shot attempts were 29-18 Rangers. Shots on goal 14-9 Rangers. Scoring chances 15-4 Rangers, and 6-0 high danger chances all Rangers. And then in the second and third periods, the Blackhawks led in shot attempts, shots on goal, scoring chances, and high danger chances. You actually look at the high danger chances in the final two periods, they were 12-2 in favor of Chicago. So I thought it was a big win to get out of that first period. They even probably could have left that first period up a goal, but to leave that first period in a 1-1 tie, and then to kind of take control of the hockey game in the second period. We talked about in the pregame show, it has been a total circus in New York for the last couple weeks with everything that's been going on. The trade rumors with Chris Kreider and Jacob Trouba, and then the email kind of leaking to general managers that Chris Drury had said, hey, we're open for business, and then Kreider saying how disappointed he's been in the Rangers season so far, and then kind of detailing the injuries that he's been going through. I believe he was a scratch for one or two games while kind of sorting through that. And then fast forward to Friday, the New York Rangers end up, I don't know if threatening is the right word, but saying they're going to put Jacob Trouba, their captain, on waivers if he doesn't accept a trade to one of the 15 teams on his, or one of the non-15 teams on his no trade list. Ends up getting traded to the Anaheim Ducks and is pretty vocal about how he was displeased about how everything went down with the Rangers. And then like hours later, there were Brady Tkachuk rumors, potentially the Rangers targeting him. And then you have the Senators owner today at the NHL Board of Governors meeting basically calling it soft tampering, and he kind of ripped the Rangers without saying their name because he couldn't accuse them specifically. But then they end up signing Igor Shesterkin to an 8-year contract, and then they're on a losing streak. They have only 2 wins in their last 9 games, now 10 games, and so it's just been a disastrous type of season for the New York Rangers. And so for the Blackhawks to come into this building and kind of put a stranglehold on them, I think we've seen it. It was part of what led, you know, I know the Hawks went through that stretch there where, yeah, they were leading 2-1 going into the third period against Anaheim. They were winning 2-1 going into the third period against the Florida Panthers. They were up 2-0 going into the third period against the Philadelphia Flyers. They end up steamrolling through the Dallas Stars 6-2. The 2 days later on Black Friday, Hawks are leading 2-0 on the Minnesota Wild and end up losing that game. So the Hawks have been in all these situations where they've been leading in the third period, but they haven't been able to close the deal. And so it was nice for them to play more of an attacking style game in the third period and trying to get that next goal versus protecting and kind of going into a prevent defense. The Blackhawks hit the post 3 times today. Ryan Donato had one, Pat Maroon had the second one, and Tyler Bertuzzi had one early in the third period that would have put the Blackhawks up 3-1. And then you have the Blackhawks had a power play where they had 3 shot attempts, 2 shots, 2 shots on goal. Ryan Donato had a breakaway. So there were opportunities that the Blackhawks had in the third period to put this game away, to make it 3-1. And so obviously they weren't able to capitalize on those chances, but the fact that they were generating chances was a breath of fresh air, because it feels like the Hawks, we've been so accustomed over the last few weeks where the Hawks have a lead in the third period and they're just sitting back almost waiting for the time to tick down so they can win the hockey game. And you always know it's going to go sideways if you try to protect that lead. So nice to see the Blackhawks hang on to it. We were talking about Tyler Bertuzzi. I thought that was easily his best game as a Chicago Blackhawk, as Troy mentioned. Scored the goal to put Chicago ahead. Nice pass from Taylor Hall. And Tyler Bertuzzi, so that was his 6th goal of the season. He has 3 power play goals, 1 6-on-5 goal, and that was just his second 5-on-5 goal of the season. The three power play goals we kind of remember. There was the 1 6-on-5 goal against LA where it was late in the third period, and then the Hawks end up winning that game in overtime. And so just 2 5-on-5 goals for Tyler Bertuzzi. I mean, that's a number that has to change if the Blackhawks want to get out of their scoring slump offensively. And just across the board, I thought he was excellent too. He led the team with 5 shots on goal, had 10 total shot attempts. Man, I can't remember the last time Bertuzzi has maybe hit that number of 10 shot attempts. I mean, he played with the Toronto Maple Leafs last season, but he was kind of bouncing around all over the lineup, found himself on a line with Austin Matthews, but Matthews probably took a ton of those shot attempts. So I'm not sure when the last time Bertuzzi actually hit 10 shot attempts, 4 of them missed the net, 1 of them got blocked. So there were opportunities. And then one of them, he had that post or the crossbar shot in the third period. So I thought it was an excellent game by him. He snapped a 12-game goal drought by scoring the goal. It was his first goal since November 7th. So it was more than a month ago. And his last 5-on-5 goal was October 31st. It was the Halloween game in San Jose. So it's been a while since Bertuzzi has scored a 5-on-5 goal. Nice to see him break through in that department. How about Kevin Korchinski? I thought he was noticeable, but he also wasn't. Like there were flashes that you saw him. The defensive play on Artemi Panarin in the first period was an excellent use of the stick and kind of body positioning. He had that grade A scoring opportunity in the second period. The pass from Taylor Hall where he generated a shot. The Pat Maroon post that I mentioned earlier, it was 1 of 3 posts the Blackhawks have hit. That came from a Korchinski shot to the net, and Maroon tipped it and it hit the left side of the post. So Korchinski was great. His final numbers, 16:54 of ice time, 4 shot attempts, 2 shots on goal. He had 1 takeaway and 1 blocked shot. And I've got to be honest, I was a little surprised to see the Blackhawks call him up for this game because he wasn't really tearing it up in Rockford. He got off to a pretty tough start, a little inconsistent, especially defensively. His minus 13 rating was the second worst on the team with Rockford. But he had been showing signs of improvement. He has 11 points, 2 goals and 9 assists in 21 games. And so the Hawks have been kind of experimenting with it, or Rockford had been experimenting him with on a bunch of different pairings. Like he was on a pairing with Ethan Del Mastro and Artem Lefshinov, that they tried that for a little bit, and then it wasn't seem to be working. I think they even moved Korchinski to the right side for a few games just to kind of see that. And so it was nice to see Korchinski play a confident game in this game and not show some signs that he showed last year where he was kind of getting beaten, boxed out in front of the net, and you saw the physicality that was sometimes got to him. So I thought he had a really solid game. I imagine this is going to be a temporary call-up for him unless he really, really impresses. But with Seth Jones out with the right foot injury, Seth Jones skated on his own on Sunday for the first time since the injury, so he's slowly starting to work his way back. And Alec Martinez, I thought it was noteworthy that he was listed as day-to-day, but I thought it was noteworthy that he was not placed on injured reserve because I don't know if the Hawks see Martinez potentially missing more than 7 days. And even if he does, at least they're not kind of pigeonholed to doing so. And so the call-up felt more like there's no Seth Jones, there's no Alec Martinez. Both of those guys are power play quarterbacks. Particularly Martinez was the second unit quarterback when it was like Seth Jones first power play quarterback, Vlasic was second, then Jones gets injured, Vlasic moves to the first power play quarterback, Martinez moves to is promoted to second power play quarterback. And so when Martinez got hurt, the Hawks really don't have another guy on the roster, although I have been banging my hand on the table for Wyatt Kaiser to step into that role. But with Kevin Korchinski, you call him up, it felt natural to slide him into that role. So it was nice to see him perform pretty well. And then last thing, before we dive into it, we got some post-game sound rolling in, but the last thing, the penalty kill has been quietly really solid for the Blackhawks lately. They went 2-for-2 again tonight against the Rangers. They are now 15-for-15 on the penalty kill over their last six games. And it's funny because the Hawks gave up a shorthanded goal today on the power play. So they've given up more shorthanded goals over the last six games than they've given up on the actual power play. And so nice to see the Blackhawks tightening things up in that department. Arvid Soderblom was a big reason for that. He had that that unbelievable save on the left pad save on Artemi Panarin on the second penalty kill in the second period. And the Blackhawks ended up scoring the goal a little bit. I think it was a few minutes after that, Taylor Hall scored the go-ahead goal, which ended up being the game winner. And so, the penalty kill has been awesome, and Soderblom definitely played a role in that. And I'm going to elaborate on Soderblom on the other side of the break, because I thought he was excellent as well. All right, we got some Blackhawks sound rolling in from New York. Let's take a break, and the post-game show is going to roll on after this on 720 WGN.
Check wins the faceoff. Here's Panarin at center ice on the left wing. Whips it down the boards into the Hawks zone. Behind the net, it goes up the far side. Shesterkin on the bench. Panarin fires top of the right circle. Save made! Loose puck taken away in front. Anderson pokes it off the near boards. And this will slide down ice beside the Ranger net with 2 seconds. Fox has it. A desperation shot never got through. And the Hawks hang on and beat the New York Rangers, ending a five-game losing streak. They beat the Rangers here tonight at Madison Square Garden 2-1. And you could tell the Ranger fans are none too happy with their team's effort and the Hawks' superior effort in this game.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, that was the final seconds of the big 2-1 win over the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Great call, as always, by the great John Weideman. Let's do our player of the game, which is sponsored by Burger King. Get your $5 Whopper Junior Duo today. You rule. It's a two-way tie. It's a tie between Taylor Hall and Arvid Soderblom. Taylor Hall, that was his third multi-point game of the season. He ended up recording the primary assist on Tyler Bertuzzi's first goal, and then he scored the game winner in bizarre fashion. I don't think he intended to score the way he did, but I'll lean towards Taylor Hall and give Soderblom his roses on the other side of this break, but let's go to Taylor Hall. He was one of the players that spoke to the media after this game. Let's hear what he had to say.
We've seen, you know, you guys have been in so many games in the third period and not pull it out. How nice is it to be able to just lock the door on this one?
Yeah, it's we've had so many close games over the season, and you know, we got to start coming out on the wrong, the right side of them. And I think, you know, that's a symptom of just how we're going to try and play. We're going to play on our toes a bit more, and we're going to forecheck. And you know, if we're up or down, it's the same way. We got to be aggressive and play to our strengths. We have some quick guys. We don't have, you know, the biggest, most physical team. If we can skate and be aggressive that way and hold on to leads, you know, while playing somewhat aggressive, that's to our advantage.
So many shots from the defense. They were really jumping into the play. How much different does that make this offense?
It's huge. I mean, I get the puck over the blue line and you pull up. It's so nice to see a D-man jump in there. And you know, conversely, when you're on D and you know, their D are jumping by you all night, it makes for a hard game. So it's huge. I hope that our D feel comfortable doing that all the time.
It seemed like in the second period something clicked maybe with the new forecheck. It seemed to really start to have an impact then.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think we're getting a little bit more compact as a forechecking unit, not as spread out. You know, I think we have a bit more freedom to just go. And, you know, if we see a D-man, it's kind of like one guy goes on the puck carrier, whoever has the puck, and then everyone else just kind of seeks out, you know, the other D-man, the low forward, and we get right up there and try and, you know, cause turnovers. That's the best way to play defense is to play in their end, and some of the best offense is off turnovers.
To be in control for most of that game and to win in this building the way you guys did, starting off this week where you're here for a full week, I mean, we heard Tina Turner blasting in the room. What does that do for the group right now?
It's huge. I mean, it's been five games since we won. You know, Anders gets a a win under his belt. And same with Sody. Sody's played really well for us this year. And those are important things to do, especially, like you said, at the start of a road trip. We need to get a winning feeling consistently. So one win's not good enough. We need to try and, stick together 2, 3, 4 wins. And I think you're going to see a lot more guys play with confidence, play on their toes, and a bit more smiles out there.
I know you guys obviously only scored 2 tonight. I know that's been an issue for this team, but to lock in defensively like you did against a really strong offensive team over there, was there a real buy-in in that third period to not let them generate much?
100%, and it's more puck management from the forwards. It's just turnovers. I think it's as simple as that sometimes with us. We need to put pucks in spaces. We can't turn over pucks, especially against that team. We had a few tonight, and Sody was there, but it's an area we definitely need to improve on. We only scored 2, but we could add a few more. That's a really good goalie over there, and he's playing in a building that he's comfortable. So I think I liked how many chances we created, especially off cycles and off turnovers.
Did you see what happened on that first goal? Did Banajad lose control of the puck when you picked it up before you had
I think
assist?
It looked like he just tried to rim it or pass it behind, and he kind of fanned on it. So lucky bird.
That was Blackhawks forward Taylor Hall. I like what he said there about they can stack some wins in a row. They'll start to play with more smiles. And I thought the Hawks were slowly trending in that direction after they beat Florida and then they beat Dallas. They should have beaten Philadelphia. It could have been a potential 3-game winning streak. Then they were in Minnesota leading 2-0 and had the chance to stack it, make it 4 in a row, but unfortunately they didn't. So hopefully for Chicago's sake, if they can stack this win into the next game on Thursday and start to build a little bit of a streak here, try to turn some of the confidence around for not just the individual players, but as a team collectively, I think that would be crucial for the long-term psyche for this Blackhawks group. Connor Bedard, he recorded an assist for the second straight game, finished with only 1 shot on goal, but I'm sure he's happy with the victory for the Blackhawks. Let's hear what he had to say after this game.
Obviously him coming up, and we knew how excited he was, and obviously we're excited to have him behind the bench, and it's great to see him get his first one, and kind of keep rolling.
Can you talk about how you played, especially in the third period? It seemed like you guys were aggressive on offense the entire night.
For sure, yeah. I think that's when we're at our best, is when we're pushing the pace and getting on them. Especially with a lead, you don't really want to sit back and just watch them and try to not get scored on. You want to go attack, and they're not going to score from their own end. So that was kind of our mindset going in.
It seemed like forecheck really started to have more of an effect second, third period, and Taylor was saying you guys have kind of tightened up in terms of where the forwards are in relation to each other. And the forecheck, do you feel like that was starting to click more a little bit?
Yeah, like I said, I think that's when we're at our best, is we're having a pucks and just playing connected on the forecheck in the O-zone, and we all have obviously where we're supposed to go, and I feel like we did that with pace and hard work tonight, and that's going to be a positive for us.
What did you see on that goal with Taylor's goal? What created that 2-on-1?
I just saw they kind of dove a guy in, and Dickie made a great play to myself, and then we had pretty clear 2-on-1. So those are rare. It's nice when you get something like that. So it's good we were able to capitalize.
Is this the first time in your career where the home crowd has booed their own team? I mean, what does that feel like coming into this building and seeing that happen?
No, I feel like it's happened before. I don't really care. Like, I'm not on their team. Just out there playing. So, it doesn't really matter to me. But, it's probably more of a question for them, I guess.
You guys starting to feel the difference in the system, a little bit more aggressive on the forecheck, the defense is jumping in. Do you notice these things?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's on us in the end, is to obviously go out and execute that. But, I think Anders came in, and obviously the couple practices we've had, that's what we worked on a lot, is playing with pace, playing hard, and using our speed and being aggressive, and that's going to be what creates success for us.
What do you see from Kevin first game back up?
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, we know how skilled and good of a skater he is and everything, and it's good to see him, and we know he's having a good year in Rockford, so it's great for him to come up and get to play tonight, and he looked good.
On a personal note, do you understand that you're playing more complete game this year compared maybe your rookie season?
I think so. I mean, that's obviously something you want to always be improving on, is your overall game, and I think there's still times and areas where I can get better, of course, and that's like everyone, but I think overall it's probably a little more a little more complete, a little more buy-in in the D zone, I guess.
What does a win like this do to set the tone for the rest of the week in this area?
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know, we can, you know, try to build momentum off it. In the end, each game is its own thing. And, you know, that's been a problem for us, is kind of getting on a roll. And, you know, we want to use this and, you know, just keep going on the trip. You know, stay motivated to get wins. We know the feeling when we do win, how great it is. So just keep, you know, chasing that and trying to get those wins.
That was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard powering through that post-game interview with someone dribbling a basketball in the background, just prepping for the next Knicks game, I guess. Yeah, it was nice to see Connor get back on the score sheet as well for the second consecutive game. Made a nice play to Taylor Hall on that two-on-one. And I originally thought Taylor Hall was trying to sneak it back door to Connor on the two-on-one, but he like legit just lost the handle of it and ended up finding the back of the net. And it's kind of funny that it turned out to be the go-ahead game-winning goal for the Blackhawks in this game. Want to shout out a couple more things that I noticed throughout the game. Connor Murphy, boy, he was all over the score sheet, particularly in the first period. He had 5 shot attempts, 2 shots on goal, 4 blocked shots, 1 hit, and he drew a penalty all in the first period. And he ended up finishing the game with 6 blocked shots. He added a couple more, most notably the one in the final minutes of the game to prevent the Rangers from tying this game up. So I thought Murphy was excellent, finished with a +1 rating, 21:52 of ice time, which was second on the team. They really, I thought it was noteworthy too that they had separated Vlasic and Murphy in this game. Vlasic was playing with Wyatt Kaiser, and Allen was paired with Connor Murphy. And so I thought the defense pairings were a little stable. Again, first period got a little dicey. There was a little run and gun in the first 7 or 8 minutes of the hockey game. I think I counted it as 5 minutes and 1 second without a whistle. It was funny hearing Troy on the broadcast calling it basically a pond hockey game, because that honestly did feel like a 3-on-3 overtime, where it's just chances, end-to-end rushes, missed opportunity on one end leads to an odd man break the other. And so after the first period, it felt like the Blackhawks really settled down defensively, and I thought Connor Murphy played a big part in that. And then on the Rangers side, former Blackhawk forward Artemi Panarin, led all skaters with 7 shots on goal, 12 shot attempts, but most notably, he had 24:39 of ice time, which led all skaters. And I was looking up his career high. His career high is 28 minutes and 2 seconds, but this was a season high for Panarin at 24:39. His previous season high was 24:17, which came in the second game of the season, October 12th against Utah. It was a 6-5 overtime victory. So I'm not sure the last time Panarin got close to 25 minutes in regulation, but the Rangers, Peter Laviolette, head coach, he really leaned heavily on Panarin to try to score that game-tying goal, particularly in the third period. And also, Laviolette understands the position that the Rangers are in, and things have been getting a little dicey over there lately. They've been dominating headlines in the NHL for the wrong reasons, and they're really trying to turn their season around, and they leaned heavily on Panarin tonight for them to get them out of this slump, and unfortunately they weren't able to do it. So we'll have to monitor the situation in New York, see what maybe the post-game comments come out of, because you know they were licking their chops for Chicago to come into town, because sometimes you kind of need someone easy on the schedule, but to break out of a slump. And this is for sure going to be a disappointing locker room and a disappointing loss for the Rangers as they try to get their season back on track. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game coming up next, right here on 720 WGN.
Loose puck around to the near side to Panarin. He advances it to Trocheck over the Hawk blue line. To Lafreniere, right circle. To the left circle, Miller. He shoots Söderblom down with a butterfly save. Will hold the puck, and a whistle will stop play. You're
simply the best. That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com powering biz. One of 28 saves on the night for Arvid Soderblom, who was absolutely terrific. 28 of 29 shots for a 966 save percentage. He spoke to the media after picking up his second win of the season. Let's listen in.
You've had a lot of games over the last year and a half where you played great and didn't get the win.
Yeah.
To have this one and to lock the door on it, how great did that feel?
No, that was so much fun. That was the most fun I've had in a while. So good thing we could get a win. And it was, it was fun to play here. Kind of a childhood dream playing here, watching Lundqvist growing up. So that was a cool feeling stepping on that ice and play as good as we did.
Did it feel any different? Like, is your brain kind of thinking a little bit differently when you step out there?
No, it was just a cool experience to get the start here. It's something you dreamed of as a kid, to play here. And it was cool to get the chance and real fun to get a win as well.
Did you see that shot there at the end that hit your pad like 10 seconds left?
No, to be honest with you. It's such a fast game, so sometimes you don't even know what's going on. You're just trying to be in the way of the puck, and then you see stuff in the video after where you save it or whatever. But sometimes you just get hit by the puck.
That was Blackhawks goaltender Arvid Soderblom. Well-deserved, one of the stars of the hockey game. He was my 1A to the 1B of my player of the game, sponsored by Burger King. Taylor Hall was the other guy. I thought Soderblom was just terrific. I was looking at the money puck stats. 1.64 goals saved above expected. So he was terrific. And now for the season, he stopped 243 shots on 243 saves on 264 shots for a save percentage of 920. And unfortunately for him, he only has two wins to show for it in the nine games played, with a 920 save percentage. I mean, the league average save percentage right now is 901. And it was funny looking at the broadcast on CHSN. They did a side by side of the goalie stats for the season of Soderblom and Shesterkin, and Soderblom's save percentage was like significantly better than Shesterkin's, and yet he had one win to show for it going into tonight's game. And just looking at the overall numbers for Soderblom, that's his second win of the season, but that's his ninth career NHL win in his 59th NHL game. And so it's like this poor guy has had a really tough stretch with the Blackhawks. And I remember doing a story it was towards the beginning of last season when he got off to a pretty decent start in the first month, had that really strong game in Toronto. He followed that up with some pretty decent performances. And it was like, I think I remember writing a story where it was like his first 35 or 30-ish starts, the Blackhawks were averaging like 1.9 goals per game in those starts. It was just something like unheard of. And poor Soderblom just wasn't getting any offensive support. And so for him to be able to pick up a win today, he did. Again, it was a tight checking win. It was not some 4-1 win where the Blackhawks had an offensive outburst. I mean, he had to really earn this one. And I thought he made two terrific saves. One of them was on Artemi Panarin on the second penalty kill in the second period to keep that game at 1-1. And I thought that was probably the biggest save of the night, potentially, because a few minutes later, the Blackhawks ended up scoring to make it 2-1. Taylor Hall on the 2-on-1 with Connor Bedard, and that ended up being the game-winning goal. And so Soderblom makes that save on Panarin. If the Rangers score there, they go up 2-1, and that the feeling of this game changes, because Madison Square Garden, the energy changes. At one point in the third period, the Boo Birds were out, or maybe it was the second period, I can't remember, but the fans were getting restless. And so if it's basically a two goal swing if Soderblom doesn't make that save on Panarin. And then Arvid made that save with 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in regulation on Keandre Miller to keep the game at 2-1. The New York Rangers, if they score there, they make it 2-2. Building livens up. Blackhawks maybe start to fall on their heels because it's another game where they let up a goal late in the third period. Even though I thought they were definitely the aggressors in the third period, I didn't see them falling back into their prevent type defense as we have seen for the last several weeks. In a lot of those games, like against Anaheim and Philly and Minnesota, where they went into third periods with either a one goal or two goal lead. But Arvid definitely earned this one for sure, and I thought he was absolutely terrific, and he's going to get some run here, it feels like, with Peter Mrazek leaving the last game with a left groin injury. The good news is Anders Sorensen had said after practice that it's a 1 to 2 week prognosis, and they're hoping it's closer to 1 week. But given the fact that Mrazek has dealt with groin injuries in the past, I don't know if you want to play around with it and try to push him back to return earlier. Like, I think you would want him to be closer to 2 weeks, maybe even flirting with beyond that, just to make sure it's safe. And fortunately for the Blackhawks too, I don't really see this being a huge concern, because they have they don't play again until Thursday, so Soderblom is likely going to get the game against the Islanders, and then they don't play again after that. They wrap up the road trip in New Jersey on Saturday. It's the Sunday game that's going to be interesting against the Islanders. If Mrazek isn't ready to return yet, do they go with Drew Commesso for his first career NHL start, and he's had an inconsistent season in Rockford at best. And I don't know if you would want to throw him into the fire to, you know, you want to make sure that his game is in the right place and he's in the right place mentally about his game before you kind of throw him into his first career NHL game. Or, you know, does Soderblom go back to back and you try to ride him to make sure that, you know, there is some stability on the back end for the Blackhawks. And maybe by that point, Mrazek is back practicing or skating again, and you can kind of forge a path for his potential return. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. Also, forgot to mention this, Craig Smith did not play in this game. I don't know what the update was there that came post game. I know he missed practice yesterday. The team ended up calling it a maintenance day, but he was listed as a game time decision. Joey Anderson, who was placed on waivers yesterday, ended up clearing waivers today. He slotted into that fourth line with Pat Maroon and Lucas Reichel. Anderson, by the way, the Blackhawks have 30 days from now to send him back to the minors if they want to send him to Rockford and open up a roster spot. So they didn't really have to do it necessarily immediately. And I did think it was interesting that they put him on waivers right before the road trip, because they went on the road trip with 13 forwards. And so if they placed Anderson on waivers and if the plan was to send him down to Rockford, it wouldn't have made any sense to basically play this three-game road trip without an extra forward. And I think everyone's minds went to, does that mean the Blackhawks are calling up Frank Nazar? And I know Elliot Friedman mentioned on 32 Thoughts that the Nazar call-up is likely coming soon. And he had mentioned that it could even potentially come today if Anderson cleared waivers. But Emily Kaplan of ESPN ended up following up the report in the afternoon. She said, for Blackhawks fans wondering when they might see top prospect Frank Nazar in the NHL, not imminent, but we're getting close. Chicago wants its prospects to overripen in the AHL. Believe the initial call-up plan for Nazar was for later this season, but the timeline has moved up because of how well he's playing in Rockford. So we'll see when that call-up potentially comes. You guys know my stance on it. I think the second half of the season after the New Year's holidays has always been kind of my target area. But if he continues to produce, not just produce down in Rockford, but if he continues to like to show the Blackhawks organization that he's continuing to put up multiple points per game, and he's knocking on the door to come sooner than later, then at some point, I guess you can't really ignore the production that he's been putting down there as well. I want to get to a quick text from the 815 area code. Has a question. What are high danger areas? So high danger areas are basically it's the house area in front of the goaltender. So they call it the inner slot shots, and it kind of varies on what some people call it, the house. Some people call it a diamond in front, but it's basically the house area in front of the net, that kind of like within the 20-25 feet range of the net. And so those kind of count as higher quality chances. And so yeah, I know sometimes the words can get a little fancy, but it's really nothing more than just a high quality scoring chance right in front of the crease area for the Blackhawks. That's kind of just like a protecting the house kind of thing, kind of similar to basketball. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Here's Larkin now, right down the middle, makes his way in. Fakes, shoots, scores! And the Red Wings have won this game.
That was the shootout winner by Dylan Larkin for the Detroit Red Wings win over the Buffalo Sabres. Thanks to Ken Cal Radio 97.1 FM, the Ticket in Detroit, for that call. That was a battle of the struggling teams today in Buffalo. The Sabres were winning that game 5-3 midway through the third period. Detroit scores twice to tie the game up, and the Red Wings end up winning the game in a shootout. But most notably, so the Red Wings went into that game without their two goaltenders, Cam Talbot and Alex Lyon. They were out with an upper body injury, and so Ville Husso ended up starting the game. He gives up three goals on seven shots in the first period, gets yanked, and the Red Wings put Sebastian Kosa in the net, the number 15 overall pick in 2021. And that was his NHL debut in a relief effort, and he ends up getting his first career NHL win. And according to Sportsnet, Sebastian Kosa becomes the first goalie in history to win his NHL debut via shootout in a relief effort. So making history there in Buffalo. Kind of a wild game between two struggling teams. The Red Wings were 0-3-2 in their last five games going into that game, and the Sabres were 0-4-2 in their last six. Now they fall to 0-4-3 over their last seven games. So that's a big win for the Red Wings, and also a memorable night for Sebastian Kosa, their prized goaltending prospect. All right, let's go to the next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be on Long Island Thursday at 6:30 at UBS Arena. The Islanders are going to, it's going to be a two-game stretch for the Islanders against the Blackhawks in back-to-back. They're first going to play them on Thursday in their own building, then again on Sunday in Chicago with no games in between. The Islanders do play tomorrow, I believe. The Islanders are coming off a pair of two impressive wins. They beat Carolina 4-2 on Saturday, and then knocked off the Ottawa Senators 4-3 on Sunday. It's just the second time all season that they've picked up back-to-back wins. So they're going to go for their third win in a row tomorrow for the first time all season. And the Islanders have been a team that's been pretty decimated on their roster. Matt Barzal, their offensive primary driving force, hasn't played since October 30th with an upper body injury. Anthony Duclair has been out since October 19th with a lower body injury. Defenseman Adam Pellick has been out since November 1st with a jaw injury, although he did start skating a few days ago, so that's a good sign, and he might be ready to go on Thursday. I'm not sure how much time he needs to get ramped up, but Islanders have been doing this without a lot of their prominent players. But they continue to be a stingy defensive team. It's kind of the same identity this Islanders team has had for many, many years. And so the Hawks, I don't think this is going to be the game where the Hawks are out having an offensive outburst. I think it's going to be probably more of a tight-checking game. But if you're the Blackhawks, they're also going for their second win in a row for just the second time this season. So let's see if they can do that against the New York Islanders. Blackhawks Hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Brendan Rook. They were led by our engineer, the Colonel Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Madison Square Garden, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 2-1 Blackhawks win over the New York Rangers. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com, and through your smartphone with the WGN app.